Before our scripture reading, I just want to say that some of us got a bit of a scare yesterday when we heard that Jerry Laufenberg suddenly had to be taken to hospital with chest pains. And I'm happy to tell you I spoke with her this morning. She was not admitted after all. She's home. And she's just a little bit overstressed. There's nothing wrong with it further. So I told her that I will share the joy of the news with our church this morning. Our scripture readings, three short passages, two from the Hebrew Testament, one from the New Testament. First from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." And then from the New Testament, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, only three verses, 6 through 8. So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And then our third and final reading is from Ecclesiastes 12, the first three verses only. I wish we had time to really read the entire Ecclesiastes 12 and to talk about it a little, because there is a beautiful pattern in Ecclesiastes 12. You hear the verbiage used, but when you think of it, it's also a description of what happens in people's lives. And when you hear about the mill that's broken and so on, then you realize, but this is really a description of us as we get older and older. When you get a chance, treat yourself to Ecclesiastes 12 when you have time to read it with more attention. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years draw near when you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened." Aha, this is a reference when our eyes are darkened and we can't see them as bright anymore as we could when we were young. "And the clouds return with the rain. In the day when the guards of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the women who grind cease working because they are few, and those who look through the windows are eyes, those who look through the windows see dimly." Here ends our scripture reading. May the reading of the Bible in our midst evoke thoughts that will make our spirits soar to hear what God has to say for us. My friends, just the word Memorial Sunday, and I was amazed by hearing what Joe said this morning. Indeed, Remembrance Day is also a very good choice for this specific day. And memory, thinking about things, remember about things, is really a factor for most of us. And if you're not there yet, I can assure you, you're well underway. Like this elderly couple was, like many of us, having problems remembering things. So finally they decided to talk to their doctor about it. So he checked them out and assured them, no, you're fine, you're physically okay, but let me give you a hint. You may think about making some notes of important things so that you will not forget them, that you will remember. So the couple thanked the doctor and they left, went home. And later that night, while watching television, the man suddenly got up from his chair and his wife asked, "Where are you going?" "To the kitchen," he replied. And she asked, "Will you please get me a bowl of ice cream?" She said, "But remember what the doctor said, better write it down so you can remember it." "Oh no, I can remember that. Well, I also would like some strawberries on top." "You had better write that down, because I know you'll forget that," his wife said. "I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries." She replied, "Well, actually, I also would like some whipped cream on top." "I know you will forget that. You better write it down." Now he was really irritated and he said, "I don't need to write that down. I tell you, I can remember that." And he went into the kitchen. Well, after about 15 minutes, he returned from the kitchen and he handed her a plate of bacon and eggs. She stared at the plate for a moment and said, "You forgot my toast." So, if you have difficulty in remembering things, be sure you are not alone. Memory is and will always be a tricky thing. Nevertheless, I know and you know that we all have certain things burned into our memory, and we believe no matter what, those I cannot forget because it's been part of me all my life. Certain things that we dare not forget and we hope that we will never forget. Memorial Day. I read about a certain spring morning in the year 1866. It was just after the Civil War that had devastated the South. And on that day, a group of Southern women did something quite extraordinary. They walked down the streets and they had little flags made by themselves. And they went out and they walked out to the cemetery outside town. And there they started decorating the graves of all the soldiers. What did I say? Of all the soldiers. Because there were buried Union as well as Confederate soldiers. And with much weeping in the years before, those mothers and daughters and widows had to bury their dead. But on that day, with that deed, they finally buried their hatred. Decorating the graves for soldiers, both of the North and South. That day they buried their hatred. It was really an act of forgiveness, finally putting the animosity of the war behind them. And that was the announcement for everybody. The time for healing had come. The time for forgiveness is here. Of course, we know if we forget the past, we are doomed to repeat its mistakes in the future. But of course, we also need to learn that there are things that you and I really should not remember, that we should forget. We need to train our memory to only permit us to remember the things that we should, and train it to forget the things that is worth forgetting. Oh, I wish I could completely go back in my life and think of old grudges and things of many years ago and just say, well, truly, they are forgotten. Truly, I can't even remember the detail anymore. Why the heck do I still remember them? I shouldn't. But if there is a wrong that we didn't right, then we should remember. Then it's time for that phone call. Then it's time to reach out and to say, I haven't forgotten. Here's my hand. Let's forgive and let's forget. Now, Memorial Day, Remembrance Day, is the time that we do remember a sure debt that we owe to others. We do honor the ultimate price paid by the men and women who lost their lives in defense of liberty. And let me say that to honor their sacrifice is not to glorify war. War is, always was, and will always be the ultimate blasphemy against God. Sadly, we know that we live in a cruel world, a world where tyrants would impose their will on others. Yes, it would be wonderful if we lived in a world where people always played by the rules, and there were no one desiring or needing his neighbor's property or privileges. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we finally never would have to depend upon military might to enforce justice, for instance? Sadly, that's true. Such a world does not yet exist. We as Americans know that we are not even sure what dangers are awaiting us in the future. So we do honor the memory this day of those who have lost their lives in the cause of justice, believing that they were making the world safer, freer, and a better place to live in. But as we remember them, we also dare not forget others who have given their lives without wearing a uniform or ever carrying a gun. We have stories from the past that we all know and often think about. We who were first forced to learn church history finally fell in love with that history when we understood the journey that Christianity has traveled for the past 2,000 years, because there were often persecutions, terrible things happening. It happened in the 16th century, amongst others, that there was a heartless persecution of Christians in Scotland. Hard to believe today, but there was. And in those days, thousands of Christians suffered for Christ's sake. And the godless authorities of those days hanged or slaughtered many innocents in cold blood. And they even beheaded some and burned others of those Christian believers at the stake. The one name that stands out in history is that of Patrick Hamilton. He was a young Scotsman, only 24 years old, when he was murdered by those authorities. He was burnt at the stake, and this is how it happened. Several people wrote it down. When the fire was lit, the young martyr called out these words, "How long, O Lord, shall darkness overwhelm this realm? How long wilt thou suffer this tyranny of man?" And as he was being consumed by the flames, he prayed exactly the words of the biblical Stephen, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And we remember Christian martyrs like Patrick Hamilton. One of the greatest privileges of my life was when I had opportunity to meet a Dutch colleague, Reverend Overduin, who suffered during the Second World War under the Nazis, because he simply would not give in and he would not yield to their demands. And he was finally sent to Dachau with the idea that he would languish and die. There came a time he wrote a book about it when he weighed only 80 pounds. And when his church was praying for him in Holland day and night. And finally he came back at the end of the war. And he spoke to colleagues across the Netherlands. And I was so glad that I was one of them. And I remember telling him one day, "Thank you, you've touched and you've changed my life with what you told us. And I think I will be telling your story till the end of my own time." People dying, suffering in the battle between light and darkness in the world. And when we talk about their sacrifices, it raises the question of how you and I as modern day Christians would respond if we have to face similar choices. You see, it comes to that when we hear these stories, when we talk about remembering, when we're paying tribute, and when we think about why those people died. Then the question comes, where do I stand? How will I respond if I have a similar choice? Well, one American wrote from Birmingham jail in 1963, his name was Martin Luther King, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." And then came the story of the well-known German theologian Martin Niemöller, and he was one of the opposites of Reverend Overduin. He did exactly the opposite. He initially supported national socialism of the Nazis in Germany. And he was one of the many German pastors who kept quiet while others spoke out. But it went from bad to worse in those days. And there came a day that he could be quiet no more. And he decided it was time to speak out. And so he did. And within weeks he was arrested and languished in a Nazi prison camp, barely escaping with his life before the welcome end of World War II. And at that time, he wrote the following. He said, "First they came for the communists. I did not speak out Because you see, I was not a communist. And then they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. And then they came for the trade unionists. Still I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews. And you see, I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then one day, they came for me. And there was no one left to speak out for me. Martin Niemöller. And that is the advice that King Solomon gave to the upcoming generations of his time and all times. That was our final scripture reading for today. Remember, oh, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Of all things to remember is, first of all, remember your Creator. Remember God. And learn God's ways while you are still able and sensitive and open. Learn about God and learn about God's endless love. In the Hebrew Testament, the prophet Micah talks about what God really expects from us, from you and me. And Micah puts it in strong language. He says, He has showed you what is good. You should know, Micah said. And then he asked the question, What does the Lord require of you? And then he gives the answer, To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Justice, love, mercy, walking humbly. The wise King Solomon advised, remember your God before your difficult days come, before the years come in which you find so very little pleasure, while the sun and moon and stars are still not darkened, and while the clouds do not return after the rain. Today we remember. We remember those who died that we may live in freedom. We remember those who died that we may live in faith. Most of all, we remember Christ who died that you and I may discover the true secret of living. And in my heart I believe that is the ultimate meaning of this Memorial Sunday. It is a time to remember, and it is time to finish what they have started for us. Oh God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.